This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
It's great to see everybody. If you're new or visiting, my name is Bruce Morrison. I'm the senior minister here at St. John's, and we're continuing our series on Romans in chapter 7. We pick up at verse 5 and 6. We're talking about serving the Lord, serving God. Of course, serving God is not optional. Jesus' disciples don't serve at their own discretion. Jesus is our Lord, or else he is not ours at all. And we are not saved by grace at the cost of God's only Son, simply to do as we wish. We are saved for service and not for self. But today I want to ask this question: how are we supposed to serve? What are the rules of service? How does God instruct us and tell us what he wants to do? It's an important question. The Bible sets out two ways in which we could try to serve God, two ways of obedience. The first way is by obedience to God's law. The second way is by obedience to God's Spirit. And these two things are completely different principles, two different ways of obeying God. Many people cannot conceive of obedience other than obedience to a law or a set of rules. People coming out of an Islamic culture have a particular problem with this. Islam, of course, is a set of rules that you have to conform to, like praying five times a day in a particular formula. So people coming from that background will often ask me, please, will you show me the commandments in the Bible so that I know what I have to do to be a Christian? I always refuse to show them the Ten Commandments, which they have usually heard of. Why? Well, it's because of the verse we're looking at today, Romans chapter 7 and verse 6, which says, we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. We are to serve God in the new way of the Spirit. The old way, the written code, is the law, written on tablets of stone given to Moses, the Ten Commandments. And Paul is here saying, and we need to be clear about it, we are not to serve God that way. Why? Because we can't. And if we think we can, then we have underestimated the power of our flesh, the sinful nature. So we're going to think about service in the old way to the law and service in the new way to the Spirit. First of all, let's think about the old way, and we find that in verse 5. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies so that we bore fruit for death. And the law here, as I've said, is the law of God. It's the law of Moses. Say we choose to obey God by serving his law, by obedience to his law. How is that going to work out for us? Not well. Why? Well, the answer is that we will be trying to live under the law of God, and it puts us back in the garden. It actually returns us to the Garden of Eden with Adam, and with exactly the same results that it had for Adam. Every law of God in the Old Testament, from the Ten Commandments to the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself, is an expression of that first law, the law of the garden. You shall not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. And we said this last week. What the Ten Commandments do is they simply give that first law its concrete expression. You shall not kill. You shall not murder. Why? Because to take a life is to take the place of God himself. Murder is one way to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Lying is another. All the law is one. And if we break any command, we've actually broken that first command which was given to Adam in the garden. The Ten Commandments, in the end, are just more of the same, more of what was given to Adam. So Israel, well, you can think of Israel just as Adam multiplied. Adam was told, do not eat. Adam ate. Israel was commanded, do not make a graven image and don't bow down to it. So they made a golden calf and they worshipped it. God sent Adam into exile out of the Garden of Eden. God sent Israel into exile in Babylon. The pattern is exactly the same. God's people receive God's law, they rebel, and God sends them into exile. But that, friends, is also a snapshot of the whole of humanity. All people are born under the law of Adam, that is, the law of the garden. All humanity has rebelled against that law, and all of humanity will finally be cast into exile away from God forever. Jesus called it hell. So the law of Moses is nothing other than the law of the garden writ large. Israel is just Adam writ large. It's like a projector. A projector takes a small image and throws it up on a large screen. Israel is just Adam thrown up on the large screen of Old Testament history. The story of Israel under the law is the story of Adam under the law. It is the story of receiving the law, rebelling against the law, and finally exile and death as the penalty of the law. So let's have a look at verse 5, because that verse tells us exactly how it works. How it worked for Adam, how it worked for Israel, and how it will work for us if we think that the way for us to live is to live under the law of the Old Testament. What happens to a man or a woman under the law? How does this most unfortunate sequence of events unravel? Verse 5, when we were controlled by the sinful nature, which in the original there, it's also the flesh. You'll find in the RSV it's called the flesh, the sinful nature. When we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies so that we bore fruit for death. Paul is describing something that is a bit like a chemical reaction. Do you remember sodium and water when you were in high school? What does it produce? It's sodium hydroxide and hydrogen, if you want to know, and it comes with a big bang. But as soon as you put sodium and water together, you know what the result's going to be. It has to be. It's a little bit like mathematics also. If you know what's on one side of the equation, you know what's got to be on the other side of the equation. If you have 1 plus 1 on one side of an equal sign, you know what's got to be on the other side. It's got to be a 2. Well, this verse is set up in exactly that sort of way. Take the flesh, add the law, what happens? Well, the reaction is the law will arouse the sinful passions and they will bear fruit for death. The NIV translates the flesh as the sinful nature. Put the law together with our sinful nature, the result is absolutely certain. It is rebellion and death. That's what happened to Adam. That's what happened to Israel. When you tell a sinful person that they are not allowed to do something, then they want to do it. Try this little experiment. Stand on the beach, draw a line in the sand, and tell someone not to step over it. Just watch what happens. The fruit of the garden was irresistible because it was forbidden. You see that? It was irresistible because of the law. Adam and Eve, I'm sure, used to just sit there eating their dates and thinking, I bet the fruit of that tree is better than our dates. See, every rule you make is an invitation to break it. So verse 5 sets out that equation. Flesh plus the law equals sin and death. The law, therefore, does not prevent sin. The law does not restrain sin. The law arouses sin. It brings sin forth. It increases sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 20, said it earlier in Romans. The law was added so that the transgression might increase. But grace increased all the more. So what is the result here? When you try to serve God by obedience to the law, do you bear fruit for God? Do you bear the fruit of righteousness and life? And the dreadful answer is no, you bear fruit for death. The verse says it really clearly. When we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit for death. It's like back in the garden. When you eat of it, you will surely die. We know the story for Adam, we know the story for Israel. And so serving God by obedience to the law doesn't sound like a great option, shockingly. So let's look at the alternative. Verse 6 strikes a very different note. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. The verse starts with the words, but now. Well, that means, but now that we belong to Jesus. So this is the verse for believers. Now that we belong to Jesus, what happens? Well, Paul says the same thing three times, and when he does that, it's like putting it in capital letters with neon lights behind it. That is, he's emphasizing something for us. What does he say? He says, we have died to the law that bound us. We have been released from the law. And then thirdly, he says, we no longer serve in the old way of the written code, which is another way of speaking about the law. When we believe in Jesus, we are removed from the realm of the Old Testament law, and it no longer pertains to us as law. Our relationship with God is not based on the law. The way we serve doesn't come out of the law. It's all based on something much better. It's based on the gospel, on faith, and on the Spirit of God who has saved us and lives in us. And friends, we need to be understanding here, this is not a lesser obedience. This is a greater obedience. This does not require less of us. It requires more. In fact, it requires everything of us. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus made this really clear. You have heard it said, do not murder. But I say to you, if you are even angry with someone, you have murdered them in your heart. It's not a lesser obedience. And when Jesus said, if anyone disobeys one of the least of these commands, he will be least in the kingdom of heaven, he's not talking about the Ten Commandments, he's talking about the law that he gives. He's talking about the gospel. He's contrasting it to the old law. We need to be very clear of it. It's a greater obedience. It requires more. But before we can understand what this new obedience is, and we will come to it, we're going to come to it in Romans chapter 8, but we've got to take it slowly through Romans 7. Why? We must understand, first of all, what this new obedience is not. We must understand what it is not in order that we can understand what it is. So what does verse 6 not mean? Let's be very clear about this. First of all, released from the law, as he says in verse 6, does not mean that we're just released from the ceremonial law, but we still have to obey the moral law. We don't worry about the sacrifices, but do not murder still is valid as a law for us. We have no license to divide up the old covenant into moral and ceremonial. It's actually impossible to do in any case. If you try to go through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and separate out the moral from the ceremonial, what you do is you find a verse and then another verse, and they belong in different places. It's an absolute scissors and paste job. It is not what Paul means here. We can't divide up the old covenant into moral and ceremonial. Secondly, released from the law does not mean that we have a license to separate the Ten Commandments from the rest of the law and just obey the Ten Commandments as though somehow that were righteousness. It wasn't given that way. It was all one covenant given by God to Israel. Israel would never have considered separating out one part of the law and obeying that part only. But there's another problem with just separating out the Ten Commandments and saying, well, I just have to obey the Ten Commandments, I don't worry about the rest. And the problem is with the fourth commandment, which of course is the Sabbath commandment. Because Colossians chapter 2:16 says, do not let anyone judge you by a Sabbath day. In other words, Colossians 2:16, Paul says, don't worry about keeping the Sabbath as law. So that leaves us with nine commandments out of the ten, and it just doesn't sound quite right, does it? Then don't begin to think that we actually keep the Sabbath commandment, friends. We don't come near it, not in reality. So we cannot say that what Paul is saying is we just obey the Ten Commandments, the rest can be dispensed with. Nothing could be further from his mind. And then thirdly, released from the law does not mean that, well, Jesus has taken the punishment for my sin, but I still have to obey and serve the law of God. So the punishment of the law is taken away, but I still have to do what it says. Because verse 6 is specifically and explicitly not about punishment. It is rather about how we serve God. So the words are, we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. It's about how are we going to serve God? Under what rules of engagement? So the point is this, the law of Moses was a wonderful statement of God's will for the nation Israel. But friends, we are not Israel. We are not a nation defined by ethnicity and national boundaries. The Ten Commandments start with these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods but me, and so forth. I have never been to Egypt. It isn't my covenant. But thank God, Jesus made a new covenant, a covenant based not on the blood of a lamb, but based on his own blood. Jesus opened up a new way, the way of the Spirit through the knowledge of the gospel. And that is my covenant. That is your covenant. Now, what is our problem with this? Because there's lots of us have a problem with this. I think we're afraid of the freedom. I'll tell you a funny little story. I was in hospital years ago in Alice Springs, and I was in 2 weeks. 1 week of that was intensive care. And at the end of the 2 weeks, the doctors came to me and said, you're right, you can go. I was terrified. I'd actually become institutionalized without having any idea of it. Apparently, it's quite a common thing. But when they said, you can go, I was actually really scared to walk out of that hospital. I'd been under the care of the doctors. I'd had drips in me and this and that. What's going to happen if I leave? Well, we're a little bit afraid of stepping away from the law in a very similar way. We're afraid of the freedom. We think that if we're released from the law, the inner demons are going to come out and suddenly believers will be sinning without constraint. We think everyone will start to say, well, I'm not under the law, I can do whatever I wish. But this fails completely to understand Jesus has given us a new commandment, a new way. Jesus' forgiveness is not a license to sin. If we think it is, we are in dangerous territory. But rather we are to put on Jesus' yoke. Now that word yoke is interesting. The Jews talked about the yoke of the law. The yoke was that piece of wood which fitted across the shoulder of an ox so that it could pull a plough. So the Jews thought of themselves as carrying the yoke, the burden of the law. Well, Jesus didn't say, throw off the yoke and go free. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But he still had his own yoke. That is a new law of love and the Spirit. We're going to come to that, as I said, in chapter 8. But we do not need to be afraid that suddenly, released from the Ten Commandments, we're all going to run amok. Another thing that we fear is that somehow this teaching makes part of the Bible redundant. I mean, Bruce, are you telling us that we shouldn't read the Ten Commandments? Is it part of God's Word or isn't it part of God's Word anymore? The answer is, of course it's part of God's Word. It's given for our instruction and learning if we will understand it properly. It will teach us about God. It will teach us about ourselves as God's creation. And what's more, the old law of Moses, written on tablets of stone, looked forward. It was a type of the new law of Christ, which is written on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It was a shadow of things to come. And God is always consistent. The new law is not going to allow us to murder. You don't have to be anxious about that. You see, if we understand that old law properly, it will teach us more deeply about our obedience as Jesus' disciples. But that is not the same thing as saying that we are under that law to obey it. That is quite a different thing. And we must not be confused. Well, friends, by dying to what once bound us, Paul says, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. We don't have to be afraid. Paul isn't advocating Christian anarchy. He's advocating exactly what the Old Testament promised to us, that is, a new law written on our hearts. But we will never learn to serve by this new law, which in Romans chapter 8 is called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, if we won't let go of the old written code. You know, it's like a monkey with its hand stuck through the bars holding onto a peanut, and it can't get its hand back in through the bars because it's got its fist clenched around a peanut. You've got to let go of the peanut before you can pull your hand in. We have to let go the old covenant before we can embrace the new. We will never understand and embrace the new until we learn to put aside the old, and our hearts will not be able to fully embrace the freedom of love until we put aside the bondage of compliance to an external code. We cannot be a slave and a child of God at the same time. What is the application from this sermon? Friends, there's only one application: clarity. I just want us to have absolute clarity. Will you pray with us, please? Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would give us that clarity in regard to your law, both the Old Testament law and the new law of Christ by his Spirit. We pray that you would give us such an understanding that we are able to embrace the new law of love, the new law of the Spirit, the law of Christ, and truly be obedient to Jesus as his disciples from our hearts, that we might be truly captivated by Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.